Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello, cousins from different dozens. Welcome to the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Betway. The Merseyside derby is back, and it's Moyes versus Mourinho in the Prem. It's Friday, 19th of February. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Luke Moore.
And I'm Vidushina Hantharaja.
Welcome, one and all, to your fabulous Friday. Lukey and Vichy and me in your ears. Gentlemen, are you still glowing from that Europa League action last night?
I'm glowing from having a little Vichy on a little dishy on the show today with us.
Yeah?
Great stuff.
Would you prefer Vish on a dish or Nugs on rugs?
why would I have to choose? I mean, I presume I'd love a little Vish on my rug in front of the fire on a Friday evening.
What's going on here, by the way? What's this?
Vish, we'll bring you in when we're done with this.
Yeah, exactly. Sadly for me, and admittedly for Vish as well, it would be breaking lockdown protocols, so
yeah,
I won't have him around on my rug, delivered by Deliveroo. Mm. I'll have to just admire him from a distance.
Yes.
Your question, Marcus?
Well, yes, clearly none of us have given up Vish for Lent, so we're going to crack on.
No way. Vish, do you want to come in on that?
Yeah,
I feel like you might feel like we're talking about you when you're not around. Uh-huh. You are around.
Well, it's a little bit like, you know, I've partaken in the objectifying of Jim Campbell, and I'm kind of doing the same thing, although people want me as a pet now, so
yeah
and I'm confused, so
you'll never be as attractive as Jim Fish, I don't think.
We can only but strive, can't we?
I think of you more as an antipasti. Or pasta. Sorry.
What? Jim's the main course these days, isn't he? That is a massive bump up.
Antipasti. Oil me, have me with bread. Is that it?
Yeah.
Uh-huh, definitely.
As you can probably tell by the tangent we've gone down, no, I didn't really enjoy the Europa League last night. I never do. No, I don't mind.
Come on. What about Steven Gerrard's Rangers beating Royal Antwerp 4-3? That was a good game.
Yeah, I didn't watch it.
Yeah, you should have done.
Welcome to the Football Ramble. Didn't watch that one. Next.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose the Marcus, if I can kind of describe, so I do enjoy the Europa League to an extent. I enjoyed
latter stages.
Yes, absolutely. I enjoy the latter stages, of course. And, mm-hmm. and it feels like, I mean, I think we've talked about it before, it's kind of got an air of a tournament that doesn't really get going to like the quarterfinal stage. But I kind of enjoy, like, I don't know, Man United winning. I know, actually, it's a poor example because Real Sociedad are quite a good team. But say Spurs, what Spurs did last night. Yep. I enjoy that the same way I enjoy watching a really one-sided boxing match.
Yep.
But I don't think it should go on for too long. And I don't think it should happen every single week. So it's enjoyment, but with a caveat. I see.
Well, I would like to draw a little bit of attention to Rangers because that was a great win for them, obviously, 4-3 away from home. But it's... What Gerrard's done there is, or is doing there, is quite impressive. They're still unbeaten in the league, having played 29 games. In 29 games, they're the top scorers in the league. They've only conceded 8 goals. In 29 games in the league. Although in the Europa League, they seem to concede a little bit more freely. I think they conceded in 2 draws with Benfica. Was it 5 or 6? Perhaps 5 goals.
It's not like they use the Europa League as a holiday, isn't it?
I think so, yeah.
Have a bit of fun with it.
Hand break off.
What happens in the Europa League stays in the Europa League.
Yeah.
Well, they've all got shirts with the names on their backs, haven't they?
Yeah.
Although, get the nicknames. That's what they should do. Nicknames
are
on the back of the shirt.
Are they still sponsored by the Pussy Patrol?
Oh, dearie me. But yeah, it was a good win for them nonetheless. Barisic, when he scored the winner from the penalty spot, he gave a little fist pump right in the goalkeeper's face.
Was there a bit of an issue before the penalty was taken then? Because he went right up to him, because the keeper nearly saved the first one, didn't he?
I should say he scored the first penalty. I don't know, maybe the keeper was trying to put him off. I didn't quite see what prompted that. But it doesn't take much often, does it?
No, not at all.
In football. Good win, though. Good win. Arsenal and Benfica, they drew 1-1. They last met in 1991 when Sven's mighty Benfica swatted aside George Graham's Arsenal 3-1.
Yeah, that's the thing, yeah.
Early bench for the big man.
Yeah, you enforce that, don't you? People want a little glimpse behind the curtain. You just enforce that. Like, it's a little algorithm. It's not the same as a Luke's Game algorithm. And you type it in and it says, this is how you can link Sven to the ramble today. And you put it in there. Late doors, when poor old Finn and Charlie have probably gone to bed after a day's hard work. Uh-huh. And you probably do some kind of thing in the shared docs and no one can change it. And here we are.
Yeah, indeed.
I did wonder why Marcus was so keen on the sound check at the beginning, distracting both Luke and I. Went to business.
Went to business. Arsenal, there's a bit to do. David Luiz against his old club, of course, Benfica. I like to bring this up as much as possible. I went to watch Benfica many moons ago, probably about 11 years ago now with Andy Brassel, and I saw David Luiz play and I said, oh, I quite fancy him for a big move. Big money.
Oh, did
move.
You?
And Fabio Coentrão, they were the two I spotted. It's the only shout I've ever made that had any kind of value. And as I say, it was about 11 years ago. And I like to
enough.
Remind everybody of it as much as possible. I think I did that on a recent Ramble stream on the Patreon, but there we are. Talking of sexiness, as we mentioned, Sven, what about the referee during Manchester United and Real Sociedad? Oh, beauty.
Very handsome young man, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Nice to see. I think referees, are we getting so into, so critical of referees that we're actually not enjoying enough their aesthetic offerings? And then I think of the referees that we have in the Premier League and I think, no, that's not the point. That's not the case.
Well, are referees getting sexier, Fish?
Well, I think they need to. I wonder, you know, how, you know, there's nothing like a pretty face to dissipate, you know, quite a tense situation, and I think if we're gonna have hot referees, let's have hot referees. I do wonder, we're gonna, you know, more, we've seen a lot of ex-players moving into management, of course, and we're gonna see a younger generation going in, so we're gonna have referees with tattoos, we're gonna have referees with, you know, piercings, who are gonna look after themselves a bit more. You know, are we entering a hot era, is what I'm saying. And I think we are.
The attitude era of referees.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Yeah, I do you know what? I've never been... Pete Donaldson obviously pointed this out to us, as he often does. But speaking of referees being aesthetically pleasing, Luke, you'll remember, and perhaps you will, Vish, I can't remember his name, but England played, I think it was Ecuador, ahead of... perhaps the 2014 World Cup.
Right.
And it was a game... I could be a little bit wrong here, but I'm pretty sure it was 2014 World Cup.
Is it the 2-2 where Ricky Lambert scored?
Yeah, that sounds about right. I think England had sending off. I think it was Raheem Sterling maybe got sent off, and it was like a pre-World Cup friendly, and he got a bit feisty.
But Antonio Valencia got sent off for Ecuador as well.
Oh, did he? Yeah, okay. And there was a bit of a downpour, I think...
Yeah.
Because the game was maybe in Miami. And
where are you going with this?
Well, the referee.
The referee was good.
And then England went to the tournament and and we were all singing 3 lines in the pub. It was brilliant. Anyway.
Sven turned up out of nowhere, didn't he?
Anyway, let's have a break.
So who was the referee? The referee with the big arms. Remember him?
No, vaguely, but it's a very long run-up to something that's very difficult for me to remember, Mark. It was 7 years ago, and it's a ref and a friendly. Come on.
All right, fair play. You didn't want to talk about the Europa League, so...
That is also true. I do want to talk about Lucas Moura's goal. That was amazing.
All right, OK,
fair enough. I think Wolfsburg are absolutely
Hang on.
Shit.
You've just brushed over Manchester United beating Real Sociedad 4-0. Vish is chomping at the bit to talk to
Go on, Vish.
We're the best. We're the fucking best. Come kneel at our altar, is what I say to you.
What a win, though. What was it about Real Sociedad who thought, it was like something out of Blackadder, the Blackadder the Fourth. It was like, our high line is our cunning plan. It's going to work in a minute. All the time. Manchester United could have won that game 7 or 8-0 with the chances they had. They have pace on the break and they just kept murdering them. And Real Sociedad were like, we're going to catch him offside in a minute. Ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous.
They'll be so embarrassed. Wait, they'll check this one for VAR and that was allowed as well. Yeah, no, I was very impressed, actually, specifically with Dan James. It was nice to see. I know we've spoken a bit about him before, about how he's starting to be a bit more confident after, quite a tough time. But yeah, the United were relentless, really. Everyone got a piece of something ahead of the weekend. And, United have been a bit here and there over the last few weeks in the league. And yeah, it was kind of incredible to see. I actually thought it got to a point where I was like, okay, like, chill out a little bit. You know, it's Don't do this to them. Then they just kept doing it to them.
Chill out a little bit. I think that's it. You mentioned Spurs, Luke. We'll talk about that. A few people. But was it Spurs who were playing at the Young Boys Stadium?
The Wankdorf.
Yeah, because people kept saying that the Young Boys Stadium spelt Wankdorf, that's the name of the stadium though.
Don't keep saying it.
Yeah, I call it the Dorf.
I mean, if you're talking about things in the stadiums that caught the eye, I'm pretty certain I saw highlights of the Slavia Prague Leicester game.
Oh yeah,
and Slavia Prague had like a logo or a motto on the stand saying Slavia Prague fox hunting.
Oh, that's mind games.
Yeah, it was
against the Foxes.
It was mind games, and it was 0-0, obviously. So maybe to a certain extent, I guess it kind of worked.
Spurs were at the in Budapest, weren't they? I can't remember who was playing at the Wankdorf Stadium, but anyway, we wanted to address that in case anybody.
Spurs played at the Pushkin Arena. Sorry, I should have picked up on that with you.
Yeah, they were there, but it was a good win for Spurs, beating Wolfsburger 4-1. All about Gareth Bale, a cracking goal. That is a lovely.
It's amazing what Gareth Bale can do when he's up against people who. Arguably, I have no idea what defending is. I mean, when he did that turn and to go on to, like, I don't want to be too critical because obviously these guys are professional athletes. They're far more impressive physically than I'll ever be.
I'll just slag them off.
All right, fine. They're wankers.
Yeah.
And no,
they're wankdorfs.
I just don't know why. Maybe it's just one of those things that's easier said than done. But in the prep, the guy who looks after Wolfsberger, I can't remember the name of the coach, didn't say, so you've heard of Gareth Bale, right? Yeah. He quite favours his left foot.
Yeah, so, but hang on. I have sympathy with the defender here because he had an assist before that where he crossed it with his right onto Son's head.
Oh, he's thrown him.
Yeah, exactly.
He's thrown him there.
Wow.
Wow, that's what he did. So perhaps the defender thought, oh, I know his game. He's going to cross it with his right. He's stopped using the left and obviously he got done like a kipper.
Yeah, he got sent for a fucking hot dog. I don't even know he's come back yet, has he?
No, I don't think he has. And then the goalkeeper thought, well, I'm not going to save that. So, bang, it went in. But it was better. Oh, by the way, what about that goal by Luke Moore, a.k.a. Lucas Moura?
I told you, it was a beauty. But again, the team that he was playing against just don't know how to defend.
Do you think that's why from the bench you could just hear, run, Lucas!
Yeah. That was over. That was very audible, wasn't it? From the replay, I remember hearing it.
Oh yeah.
The thing is, though, again, easier said than done. But that's the job we've got here, to talk about things that we think are good and things that we don't think are good.
That's true.
I don't know how you feel about it, Vish, but like, just fucking foul him, bring him down, stop him, do something. Nah. You know what I mean? He's not so fast that it's impossible to stop him.
Yeah, he's threatened to do that quite a few times, Lucas Moura. He's really keen to slalom, and yeah, I was trying to think of where they could have fouled him, actually, but by the time he gets to the edge of the box, it's too far, and they actually try and make authentic attempts to get the ball, but... Yeah,
can I just say, I've never heard anyone describe a player before as keen to slalom.
Yeah. Well, I would have described it as the slalom shake, where...
Yeah, you know. Very good.
Scouting report. He's very keen to slam.
By the way, looking ahead to the weekend, though, with the game against Spurs, you know, it's a tricky one. But Mourinho suggested that Bale might start this weekend, which would be...
I mean, he's just saying that. If he doesn't say that, he'll post on Instagram saying, oh, I'm looking forward to starting on the weekend. So I didn't say that.
Yeah, it's interesting. Son Heung-min said last night, I have a very close relationship with Gareth. I'm happy, very happy he's getting game time and scored a goal and got an assist. I really enjoy playing with him. Did Gareth Bale's people hand him a piece of paper to say that?
But alongside, they're treating me very well.
Gareth Bale treats me really well, and et cetera, et cetera.
While blinking torture in Morse code.
Yeah, I don't know. Bale's agent, though, Jonathan Barnett, has been chipping off about Madrid. I think in time people will realise how badly the fans treated him when they should thank him every day of his life. And it's like,
I mean, not to kind of blow the old trumpet, but I've personally interviewed Jonathan Barnett, and it was about 6 years ago, and he said exactly the same thing then.
Did he?
So I think he's been banging that drum for quite some time. Oh, right. But I think this game against West Ham will be fascinating. Oh, yeah. Obviously, it's always a fiercely contested game anyway, but it's a really good measure of almost like of West Ham's credentials, really, because Spurs are a team who can be got at and who... You know, obviously, a lot has been said about Mourinho because a lot is always said about Mourinho, but he's been hammered in terms of... in terms of the way he sets his teams up these days. I heard Jamie Carragher and Michael Cox talking about it a while back, maybe earlier this week. I think it was covered a bit on Monday Night Football as well. So I don't know what you guys feel like, but I feel like West Ham are obviously a team who are very, very good in certain areas and can ask a lot of questions of this Spurs team, particularly in defence. There was talk earlier this week that Tanganga might have to play right back. So, I mean, that's immediately an area that could be targeted. They're not that good defensively, Spurs. They seem to play very, very deep. I guess the positive for them is that they rested Kane for the Europa League game and he'll start. But, I mean, I don't think Bale will start, by the way. I mean, I could be wrong, but I don't think that'll happen.
No, yeah, fair enough. Well, I mean, West Ham, obviously, they're gunning for fourth position, Vish, so it's a big game for them.
Yeah, it's quite a neat little matchup between two managers who I think at the start of the season, maybe even like we go a little bit further than that when they took their respective jobs, like a lot of people had already made their minds up about them. And if you were to tell me back then that one of them would have, you know, I suppose completed a bit of a 180, I've just absolutely not told you it would be David Moyes.
Yeah.
And I think it's interesting to see how Moyes copes with not just this weekend, but the run in a bit. Because I think it's the first time that the pressure's off him in terms of, you know, people who are acknowledging widely that he's doing a very good job. And now it comes to ambition. And I think ambition is something he's had to suppress. And you could argue he suppressed it even in his early days at Manchester United, to be fair. And I do wonder how he would set out for this game, because your gut tells you that this is a Spurs side that you can wait for them to make a mistake, but you really, really need to pounce on it. And I think when you've seen how he set up against certain big teams, you know, I covered the game at Chelsea at Stamford Bridge, where they were just a little bit too, I suppose, vanilla, I suppose, in the way they went about it. I covered the game at the London Stadium against Manchester United, where they, you know, sprung to a lead and then didn't really know what to do with it. So I think they need to find a halfway house between the two, because we've seen with this Spurs side over the last month, there's a lot of questions being asked of Mourinho. And if you can just prey on that insecurity by absorbing a bit of pressure and then really hitting them and hitting them hard, then there's no reason why they can't emerge from this with 3 points, I don't think.
I think that's right. Sorry, Mark, I was just going to say very quickly, I also think that one thing that you've alluded to but haven't explicitly mentioned, which I'm happy to do so, Vish, is that if you put pressure on this Tottenham team, they'll crumble. They'll make a mistake. You see it happen time and time again. Mistakes just get made. So if they can execute some pressure onto them, particularly being the home team, particularly with the makeup they've got, they've got some tricky, creative, actually obviously quite quick players as well, West Ham, they can put pressure on Spurs. And at the back, they will crumble. And one of them will make an error, whether it's a dire, stupid decision, or Lloris will drop something, or they'll have a player in there who's not played an awful lot of football like Tanganga. And they will make mistakes. And if West Ham can show the confidence and they can get big J-Lings on the ball, who's started like an I mean, he's been an absolute firework at West Ham. It's amazing to see, Marcus. One of your beautiful boys from the summer of 2018.
One of our beautiful boys, for crying
out. Jim's vicious throwing up the jailing sign.
He has. And I think we all should. And he should have had that winning goal against the Netherlands in the Nations League. And it was given offside because of VAR. And that's why I hate VAR.
Yeah.
The one thing that is going to be a potential issue for West Ham is Antonio. I don't think at the time of recording we know if he's going to be available. I think
he looks unlikely.
Given an update today about it, yeah.
He's a doubt. Mourinho was asked about how he's perhaps going to sort of resurrect Spurs' season, if you like, considering they were, you know, in the title race not that long ago, and now that seems rather fanciful. And he said, first of all, we have a final to play in our pocket. It's there, and it has a zip. The zip is closed. We only opened the zip on the 25th of April.
Luke, you were, that's not what I asked, is it, Jose?
Luke, you like to unzip things. What do you think of that?
It's true. I'm always wearing tracksuit bottoms these days.
Just as well.
I was going to say that if he carries on like this, he might not even be the manager in April. So I'm not worried too
much. I mean, Serge Aurier has been speaking about Mourinho's way with the players, and he said he's changed. He hangs out a bit more with the players, and I like that. Hanging out with the boys.
Yeah, I mean, I can imagine hanging out with Serge Aurier is a bit of a roller coaster, to be honest.
I could imagine so.
Yeah, nothing better than hanging out with your boss, is it?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, it's great fun.
Indeed. Gentlemen, Merseyside derby, of course, this weekend. It's a big one. Jurgen Klopp earlier said this week, nobody is happy with being fourth and only having 40 points and being level on points with Everton. Lovely little dig.
Boom.
Come
what
on.
A dig. Get the spade out.
Yeah.
Digging all over the place. Great to see.
Can I chuck something out there? Because I'd be keen to hear what both of you think about it. But obviously there's been a lot of noise from a certain section of Liverpool fans about Klopp, specifically about whether we're at the end of this cycle with Klopp at Liverpool. And now I think that's categorical bollocks on a number of fronts, not least because it's clear that he still has a hold over these players and these players are still incredibly talented. But I wondered if, I was looking back at his time at Dortmund, and because he's so emotionally invested in everything he does, in the team and the players, and the success and defeat clearly have elicit a strong reaction from him, and it's clearly going to cut away at him when things aren't going as well as they are now. Because I think this could be the first time in ages that they potentially lose four on the bounce in the league, which is remarkable, really.
Yeah.
Do you reckon we might be in a situation where, just simply for his state of being and for Liverpool, that they might part? Because I wondered if actually this is the kind of situation that arises where he just thinks, right, maybe the emotional tax on me is too much, rather than I can't do this anymore on a professional level.
I think there's definitely merit in the idea that if you're somebody who's so emotionally led like Klopp is, it kind of exhausts you, right? Mm. And people have said the same thing about Pep, like he has to have a regular break and everything, and that's why it was quite surprising, wasn't it, at the time when he announced that he signed a new deal with City, and now what's happened subsequently is...
Well, he's found a second wind in a weird way.
Seems like it, doesn't it?
Yeah, I didn't think he would, to be honest with you.
No, but I think with Klopp it might work. I don't think the idea... I'm surprised you said that, Fish, because I mean, I must read different publications to you, but then you're a professional and I'm not, so... I'm sure you're absolutely right, but to me it was the idea that Klopp was just exhausted, and I didn't think it was the idea that he was going to be relieved of his position. It was just the talk that he was going to be he was going to resign because he was under pressure personally, and he had invested a lot of himself in it. I mean, one thing I would say is that pressing the old "have a look over there at Everton" button, it's not a great sign. It's not the sign of a confident manager. So I wonder whether that's kind of playing on his mind a little bit. And this game's got great subtext because I'm waiting to see who's going to take revenge on Jordan Pickford first in this game. There's been some Liverpool players who probably waited a long time for this. Like, my money's on Jordan Henderson, but we shall see.
I think that's quite fanciful thinking.
I reckon Virgil van Dijk's music's going to go and he's going to come out with a chair. And
that's Virgil van Dijk's music! Yeah, it's like marching up the tunnel like Vince McMahon.
Ancelotti said that Dominic Calvert-Lewin will be back. Apparently, they've not had him in the past couple of games, which he's been a bit of a miss, Vish. Do you think that could Ancelotti just be saying that so they plan for Dominic Calvert-Lewin, or do you believe Carlo?
I believe Carlo. I don't think he'd lie to us like that.
No, I don't think he would.
You know, he told us what was in his cup, and we appreciated that. he'd tell us what's in his plans. Yeah, I would. I mean, if you think about it, I know that you don't want to bring anyone back too soon, but this is a kind of game you'd want him for, wouldn't you? And I reckon if he was 80%, just having him on the field, I feel like because of the way he occupies centre backs and the issues that Liverpool have had back there, you'd want him, wouldn't you? And then that would allow Richarlison to do his wandering thing, because I don't think Richarlison's as effective through the middle as he is when he's allowed to just kind of roam on the wing. Yeah,
Richarlison's one of those players who, you know, if he was playing in this country in the 90s or the noughties in a 4-4-2 kind of thing, he'd probably get a bit lost.
Well, he'd only be two, wouldn't he?
Sorry?
He'd only be 2 years old.
You know what I mean?
Right. Come on, let me have that one, brother. Yeah. Let me have that one. Open the door to your heart and let that one in.
He'd have other concerns, but he'd be shitting himself, he'd be crying.
Renewable is nappy. Probably can get boots in his size.
Just getting used to his own teeth. I mean, give the guy a break. Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I think he would display a dummy a bit more now and then.
There we go. See, now you're on board.
Hell of a
come on, it's fine.
Hell of a dribbler. Hell of a dribbler.
Oh dear, exactly. No, throwing his toys out of the pram if he gets that. But of course, there's been the question
mark. Has he been sent off? It's his nap. It's his nap time. It's fine.
Oh dear, did you see this question mark?
Fabrizio Colicchini.
Anyway. That's enough now. You've gone too far.
Yeah. You're disrespecting him now. There's question marks over Thiago Alcantara since he's gone to Liverpool. Although he's a lovely player, I don't think anybody would suggest otherwise. Came into his own in the game of midweek. Michael Owen said he pulls on your heartstrings. Does he mean he pulls the strings in the centre of the pitch? Yeah. Okay.
I think he could. I mean, maybe Michael just feels really emotionally invested in.
If I was Michael, maybe he pulls on the hamstrings.
Yeah. Oh. I thought when I read that quote, I thought, oh, what he means is it makes Michael Owen really nostalgic for the kind of through balls that he could latch onto that Thiago Silva would be playing.
Maybe that's it.
But when you describe it like that, Michael's just basically said something that he didn't mean.
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen his output before, so it's Occam's razor for me.
I once interviewed him for The Ramble and I appreciated that 35 minutes.
Yeah, you respected it a great deal, didn't you?
From 1 5-foot-8 striker to another.
Yeah, who's the best finisher?
I think probably him, but I think my prowess spurred him on.
Yeah, also, I don't know why I'm saying Thiago Silva when I obviously mean Thiago Alcantara. I've got confused by my... I mean, I'm a huge fan of Thiago Silva, so that's probably why. Obviously, I know the difference between the two players. Sorry about that. It's been a long Friday already.
After laying into Michael Owen's output.
Yeah, I know. It's ironic, right? Yeah. Oh, dear. Oh, well. Oh dear.
No, you're Thiago's. Okay.
Yeah.
Right, everybody. Remember that you can get all the European football chat you desire over on the Continent, which is, of course, on Football Ramble Presents. If you fancy that, hit subscribe so you can hear more about these foreign beauties like Thiago Silva and Thiago Alcantara. But before they come to the Premier League, of course. Yeah. So you're ready when they come to the Premier League. Ha, ha, ha. I know all about that, friends.
And the bonus would be that Andy probably and his team won't mix up the players, which is obviously a bonus.
You'd hope not. All right.
That's confusing.
Let's have a quick break.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble. Stakhanov's brand new show, My Seven Wonders, with Clive Anderson, is available to listen to now. Clive will be quizzing some of the world's most interesting celebrities, including Griff Rhys-Jones and Shappy Khorsandi, about their own personal Seven Wonders of the World. Join Clive and his first guest, Dara O'Brien. Dara talks to Clive about his love for the Irish sport hurling and some of the extra benefits that come with owning a hurley stick.
It's just pleasant to have a big stick in the house every so often. For home security, it's always nice to know that I have an arsenal if I need it.
Oh, bear that in mind if I'm tempted to burgle your house in the middle of the night.
Just do it. Honestly, that's how I stand. I stand naked with my Irish testicles dangling, challenging people.
They discuss finding humour in quantum physics.
It's like saying, is the cat dead or not? Would somebody just open the box?
And discovering new passions during lockdown.
Lockdown ran a schism, essentially, between the young comics who immediately went, I must learn new skills. I must learn video editing and TikTok. And I must find new ways to bring my comedy to people. And the older comics went, yeah, retirement, it'll be all right, actually. Said the guy. Turns out, you know, it's okay.
It's not too bad.
Search My Seven Wonders with Clive Anderson on your favourite podcast player to hear the first episode now.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble preview show sponsored by Betway. Mm. Yeah, that is what you think it is, ladies and gentlemen.
An insight into the WhatsApp group, everyone.
I when I got that, I played it, obviously not knowing what it was, but I mean, more fool me. If you get a voice note from Pete Donaldson, get your headphones on at least.
Yes.
And Olympia, now just through exposure, like, you know, secondhand exposure, is used to Pete. Without breaking her gaze or turning to me, she just went, who does he want to fuck?
Now would have been better.
Oh dear. The man is a force of nature.
Right, ladies and gentlemen, let's have some emails. Just email show at footballramble.com. Right now, so Peter, Vince, or Kate, or Jules, or Jim, or Andy, Luke, all my kids can read it out. Well done. An email from Jenny Silver. Thank you, Jenny. The National League news has hit some particularly hard in Gloucester. Gloucester City AFC were top of the National League North. Yes, North, long story. How does that work? In their first season back at their own ground after 13 years in exile, our old ground flooded in 2007 and took a long time to sort it. The fans, who have had to traipse all over the county and beyond to various ground shares for far too long, have been able to attend one game at New Meadow Park, an FA Trophy match. What the fuck is going to happen with the FA Trophy? And now I've seen the best season ever null and voided. It just sucks. Ugh.
Well, yeah, it's a real shame. I mean, look, it's a real shame. And I think it's something that we don't talk about enough on this show, and that isn't talked about, I think, enough generally, is that we are probably seduced into things being fine in football because the majority of fans, particularly at the moment, obviously none of us can go to games and we just watch the top level football on TV. But, you know, football at the grassroots level and at a much lower level is in a right old state. And we have talked about it a bit, to be fair, Marcus, haven't we? We said, you know, what's going to happen because all these clubs' financial resources are just being completely cut off. And then you've got the situation at National League North and South level where they're going to abandon the season. What happened last season happened as well. We have points per game and all the rest of it. And it... like, to me, I don't know if this is a mainstream opinion or not, but I'll just put it out there. I think people should be finding the money. The football family should be finding the money to support these teams at this level, because they found the money to support them for the first half of the season. Mm-hmm. And the second half of the season seems to have changed for some reason. And now we've got a situation where a load of fans, genuine, really passionate fans of non-league clubs, mm-hmm. are suffering yet again with a season, and the players and the staff, of course, where it's just a complete waste of time. It's really, really frustrating.
Yeah. No, well said, mate. Well said. I'm sure we'll talk a bit more about that story as it develops over the next sort of days and weeks and whatnot. Show at footballramble.com or tweet us at footballramble if you want to get involved in the correspondence. Right, gentlemen, back to the Premier League. Arsenal are facing Manchester City this weekend. Arteta up against Pep, of course. Arteta's lost three of his four games against Guardiola, including that 4-1 thrashing in the League Cup in December. Of course, the reason why Pep Guardiola has been successful is, according to Allardyce, is that they've become a big club on the fact they've spent at least £450 million just on defenders.
Yeah, could I pile in on Sam Allardyce? Does anyone mind?
No, not at all.
No, please, please do.
I mean, he took over at West Brom after the 1-1 draw with City, yeah. when they were 2 points from safety. Right. Since then, they've won one game. Mm-hmm. And are now 12 points from safety and will be relegated, right? So you think, why is he this just this rent-a-quote guy who's talking about all these other teams all the time? Because he went on to say that he would have taken Everton to fourth or something if he had stayed there. That was his target. Well, when he was at Everton, he took over in November when they were 13th, and they stank the place out to claw their way to eighth. They finished 26 points off fourth. So I don't understand where this is coming from. Well, I do understand where it's coming from. He's a fucking, you know, it's perhaps ironic for me to say, but he's a loudmouth and he just wants to deflect from the fact that he's done a terrible job at West Brom, and he's further trying to accentuate the myth that he's never been relegated, which also isn't true. And so to me, it just feels, if I was a West Brom fan, I would have a lot of sympathy for Slaven Bilic because of what he did to deliver the team back to the Premier League, and was fired when everything was still to play for, and they haven't got an amazing squad of players. They bring in Big Sam, who's got this reputation that somehow he still has, and he's done categorically a worse job, and the only quotes you can get out of him are what he would have done if he was in this position and what he could do if he was this manager. So you are the manager of West Brom now and you're fucking it up, so concentrate on that first, mate.
Vish, do you have a counterpoint to that?
No, I totally agree. I was going to say also, you know, slagging off Slaven Bilic for not just, you know, he took Slaven Bilic's job and then complained about where Slaven Bilic was now managing. You know, oh, I could have gone out to China as Bilic did. I think, you know, he's just someone who feels like the game owes him something. And I think the only thing he should be given is some salsa for that fucking, that big fuck off chip on his shoulder.
Go on, Vish.
Nice one, Vish.
Did you put chips in salsa?
Yeah.
Mate,
yeah,
chips.
Of course.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Not chip. I think he means like nacho chips.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Oh, do you? I was thinking more of a French
tortilla
fry.
Tortilla chips. No.
Because Sam Allardyce, I think maybe a bit of gravy or tomato ketchup.
Oh, I bet he douses his chips in vinegar, doesn't he?
So do I, though.
No, gravy's the one you want. And that's a southerner saying that.
Let's stick to the subject here. Let's not have a go at the guy for that.
No, exactly. Yeah. That's fair. I mean, he is right that they've spent an awful lot of money on defenders. And I think if anybody had 450 million quid just on defenders, it would improve the side. But nevertheless, Manchester City are playing superb football this season. I mean, Pep's delivered them a number of trophies, and surely they're going to get at least another one this season, Vish. But perhaps Arsenal can... Well, in fact, even if Arsenal win, it doesn't really blow any title race wide open, does it? It just sort of prolongs it, perhaps?
It'd be like if they were running and stepped in a puddle, you know. It's not going to bring them down in any way. But yeah. I'm quite keen to see how this plays out. I mean, like City, you know, we've spoken about them and how relentless they are, and Arsenal feel like they are kind of building something, but they've got like a few. It does seem like they're starting to have some tactical things to iron out, like playing Emil Smith Rowe on the wing because they want to accommodate a few more. Their established players in the middle is quite interesting. Odegaard. Played very well.
What do you think of that? Because Martin Keown has his reservations about putting Smith Rowe out wide because he says Smith Rowe's done really, really well. And he feels that Odegaard's had a few nice touches, but when he's not got the ball, he's not working too much. What do you think of that?
Well, I thought maybe we were working towards a situation where there would just be a little bit more fluid. One of the things that irritated me a little bit with Arsenal at the start of the season was that players like Saka were being I suppose, forced to just run in one lane, essentially, to operate either kind of on the right or left wing. And I thought it was counterproductive because it just made them a bit stodgy in the final third. And with Smith Rowe coming in, it did seem like, you know, there was a bit more dovetailing. Lacazette in particular was someone who I wasn't a massive fan of him dropping back because I thought he was quite limited, but, you know, he ended up doing really well. Obviously, Aubameyang's back in a scoring mood after last week. So I thought maybe it was just a teething problem, really, that, you know, once Odegaard gets used to it, it'd be able to be used in that kind of system. But, mm-hmm. I mean, if Martin Keown's worried, maybe I'm worried as well, but he does seem quite worrisome generally. So mm-hmm. I don't think it's a particularly big issue because I think Smith Rowe is talented enough to do any of those kind of jobs, yeah.
Would you worry if you had a counter opinion to Martin Keown and he heard about it and then when lockdown's over he saw you, he might kind of jump up like he did that time for Ruben Nistelrooy and sort of celebrate in your face that if he was proved to be right?
You know, it's funny you mention this because I think I relayed this story on the Football Ramble Discord, but when I was working at 442, I called up Martin Keown for an interview. And it was specifically about the time he spent in Ireland as a teenager, where he played a lot of Gaelic football. And he said it kind of helped him with his defending. And he said it got him a really good vertical jump. And he was like, yeah, so it made me quite robust, and like, people were beating the shit out of me. But, you know, it helped toughen me up and it helped me get a good leap. And I said, oh, like with Van Nistelrooy, just being a really petty...
Just been a really pleasant... How old were you at the time?
I would have been...
22?
No, not 22. So it would have been like 2012. So what's that, oh, okay. 9 years ago? Yeah, so like... You know,
what did he say?
And he just... The phone went silent and he went, why bring that up?
Oh, that's cool.
And
really?
To be fair to him, he, like, I think the interview went on for like 5-10 minutes afterwards and he was good as gold. And he could have turned because there was absolutely no need for me to bring that up.
Yeah, but he's obviously kind of, I don't know if he's ashamed of it, but people have given him a bit of crap over the years. Whereas I think, would he not just sort of laugh it off maybe?
I know, but when you're doing someone a favour, when you're answering a stranger's phone call to give them an interview and they pipe off like that, like fair play to him, yeah.
Just on the Odegaard thing, I might have missed something here, but did Arsenal sign Odegaard as this kind of, obviously, his number 10 type player because they weren't convinced that Emil Smith Rowe was ready at this point?
Possibly.
Because it seems weird that they signed someone in exactly the same position. I know that Odegaard is left footed and Smith Rowe is right footed, so I suppose you could play them on different flanks and they could, you know, because obviously a lot of attacking players like to play on the opposite flank and cut inside these days, so there's a lot of flexibility there. But it seems a bit deflating for someone like Smith Rowe to show what he can do, and he has been good, and he does look good to me. He does look good enough, and obviously he's going to improve. It's a bit deflating to see a player with such a big reputation as this wonder kid to come in and play in exactly the same position as you, because you probably think, and he's a young man, right? So he probably thought, like, oh, hang on a minute, 2 weeks ago I was the wonder kid at this club, and now I'm being kind of carted around. So it'll be just interesting to see how that develops.
Well, if you think about it, look, he's playing where Willian might have played, of course, and he's been a bit of criticism. Although Arteta, I mean, you decide whether he sort of defended him or not. When he says about Willian, what he's doing, the way he's trying, the way he's working, the way he's pushing to give everything to the team is what I demand. Whether he is more or less successful in the game is another matter.
Well, I mean, I'm happy to own up to the fact that for the first maybe 3 or 4 months of Willian at Arsenal, I defended him to the hilt, partly to annoy Jim.
Yeah.
and after a while, I just had to wrap my hand in. I can't do it anymore, mate. I'm afraid. I'm sorry.
I mean, it's,
fair enough.
It's a shame because we know he's got quality. We saw it at Chelsea, but he has been a little bit disappointing.
And I think you did touch on something though, very quickly. I think when they play against a team like Man City, I've noticed what one of you guys mentioned as well with Odegaard without the ball. I mean, they need to be right on it, and they need to be just working so hard when they won't have the ball, which of course they won't a lot of the time against Man City. And I wonder, I mean, it'd be interesting to see if he starts the game. I suspect he might get picked, but I mean, it'll be a real challenge for him because he doesn't look like he works as hard as some of the other players off the ball, in my opinion.
Indeed. General, I'd like to turn our attentions to a very strange happening from France. Have you heard of Gregory Akelrod?
I haven't.
Well, he seems to be Europe's answer to Carlos Kaiser. Now, some people might not know Carlos Kaiser. He was the Brazilian ex-pro who never actually played much.
There's a film made about him, Marcus, wasn't there?
There was a film, there's a book as well. He was this guy who, I think he might have played 10 minutes of an actual professional game somewhere in the world. But he was a blagger. And he said, I'm Romario's friend and all this kind of stuff, and managed to get signed for various clubs. And then when he turned up to the club, they were a bit like, hang on. And then he would sort of feign injury and go, oh, I can't play. But he would still pick up the wages, live a bit of the footballer's lifestyle, but never actually play. I think he got transferred to a side in France, maybe Nice or somewhere. I can't quite remember. But he did go to a few different places and had like his 10-year career, but never really played a game.
How good do you reckon he actually was, though? Well, he's probably still quite a good player, right?
He must have looked the part.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I mean.
But this guy, though, so Gregory Akelrod, apparently he created a fake website claiming that he was an up-and-coming star in the PSG reserves.
Why aren't you on the PSG website? I got my own one. That's alarm bell straight away.
You're saying that he might be quite good. This is an extract from the piece itself.
Go on.
Between the age of 10 and 18, Akelrod was banned from playing football due to his lack of ability. So that's just not, that's not professional football. That's any football between the ages of 10 and 18.
I mean, I'm a poor player, but I've never been banned.
Think of all the issues that football has had over the years, and the idea that you could single-handedly bring it into disrepute simply by playing it. That's what he had to deal with. That's how good he was.
That's amazing.
Well, we'll have Nelly Yeo in touch if we can.
Get Nelly back in there. Yeah. He apparently did trials at Norwich, Bournemouth and Swindon, and he even signed a 15 grand a month contract at CSK Sofia before they realised he was a fake.
Was that before or after Alan Pardew? Because if Alan Pardew was involved as technical director at that point, that would be amazing. You have to admit, that would be amazing.
That would be absolutely superb. Oh, dear. Yeah, and now he's an agent helping young players get into academies.
Yeah.
I mean, presumably...
It's like asking a notable art forger to help you with your art career.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
I feel like I'm going to be ostracised if I work with you. That'll be fine.
I'll show you where all the gaps in the fences are.
I'll tell you what, I may not be much of a player, but I am a bloody good judge of a player. Yeah, but not yourself, weirdly. You're right. Testing the fences for weaknesses is not something you want from an agent.
I think that maybe he'll be that bad as an agent, he'll be banned from being an agent as well. I do not know. Just an incredible story. I implore you to check out that, ladies and gentlemen. Right, let's have some Betway 4 to score.
Yeah, it's time for Betway 4 to score. We do it this time every single week. It's absolutely free to enter. You just pick the first goal scorer in Betway's 4 selected matches. For your chance to win that weekly £50,000 jackpot, make sure your selections are submitted before the first game. Further T's and C's apply. Marcus, am I right in saying, as ever, you fronted up with game one last week and you got it right? Is that right?
I think it was the first of the season.
Yeah, well done. Listen, it's a platform, isn't it? It's a platform.
Indeed.
You've got West Ham v Spurs this week, and you're up first again. Who have you gone for?
Yeah, it was a difficult one to pick because obviously Antonio, I'm not sure. I quite fancied him for a goal, but don't know if he's going to play or not. So I thought I'll play it a bit safe and go for Son.
Oh, very nice. Okay, good stuff. Vish, you are up second. You have got the game. Let me just bring it in front of me. Aston Villa v Leicester.
Yeah, I'm going to go for Harvey Barnes. I thought about James Maddison, but no. So Harvey of Barnes it is.
Very nice. Okay. It could be Jamie Vardy. We heard about the fake Jamie Vardy yesterday, which I enjoyed if you haven't heard that, go back and listen to it. I enjoyed that a great deal. Harvey Barnes. Game three is Jim. Jim's got game three. It's Arsenal v Man City. I like the fact that we gave that to Jim because he has to think about that game.
Yep.
I imagine he preferred not to. Here's what he said.
Hello, everybody. This is Jim. For 4 to score this weekend, I have got Arsenal against Man City. And now it pains me to not pick an Arsenal player. I think it's going to be Raheem Sterling that opens the scoring. City are very good at getting in behind you and, just getting Sterling's little tap-ins from wide areas. So I expect that's what's going to happen. So my choice is Raheem Sterling.
Yep, so not going for a Man City. I'm not going for an Arsenal player. Not a huge surprise. So Raheem Sterling for Jim. Game four is Man United v Newcastle. That's on Sunday night. That's me. I've gone for Marcus Rashford. I don't know how you guys feel about that. I think, Vish, is that a sensible pick? You're the resident Man United expert.
I think so. I'm banking on him to get a couple, yeah.
I mean, I'd be mad to go for a Newcastle player, wouldn't I? Let's be fair. So in summary then, that is Son Heung-min, Harvey Barnes, Raheem Sterling, Marcus Rashford. If those four players each score first in their respective games, we will win £50,000 for charity. Make sure your selections, if you want to play, are submitted before the first game though. And further T's and C's apply. You must be over the age of 18 to gamble, and do gamble responsibly. For more information, head to begambleaware.org. All right, that was Betway's Four to Score. This is Luke's game. It's one of those games that's quite difficult to explain, but you'll get it as soon as you start hearing it. Yes, indeed. It's the most exciting time of the week if you are Marcus. He loves it. I love it as well.
Fish is going to bottle this. Look at this. Look at his little face.
The mind games have started. Let me just get my notepad out.
You don't even have the belt anymore. What are you piping up for?
Yeah, I gave it to Andy for a bit.
I think last time I checked, he was still the people's champion, Vish.
Yeah.
That's a belt that money can't buy you. If you want to be the heel, commit to it.
Yeah.
I just think I don't want to waste my time on someone who doesn't have anything that I want.
Isn't that what your wife said?
It's too late. Right. We've already signed it.
Yeah, you can't go back on it now. If you do, you're weak. Right. Here we go. Vish, you're up first.
Go on,
okay,
Vish.
Everyone knows how to play. But to be successful in this game, you do need fire in your belly and your head in the freezer. Let's see who's got it. Vish, you're up first. This guy's played for 6 clubs in total. He retired in 2015. He is Robert Pires.
Robert Pires.
And as I have to remind you, as always, contractually obliged to do so by our generous sponsors, a quick game is a good game.
Jesus.
Robert Pires, 6 clubs.
Robert.
Go on,
people listening, we'll be playing along at home. They'll be looking for that sweet spot number, the crucial early bid, the first bid in the player is a very, very crucial moment. Can you get the sweet spot, Vish? I need a number from you right now, please.
Go on, Vish.
I'm going to go for 2.
Oh, that's not the sweet spot, Marcus, is it?
I'll have to say 3 then.
Okay, Vish, do I hear 4 from you?
You know what? You don't. I don't think you do.
Okay, so Marcus, I'd like to have 3 clubs that Robert Pires has played for, one at a time, if you don't mind, for your chance to win the first point of the game.
I'll be honest, I think 2 probably was the sweet spot.
Oh, was it? Okay, yeah. We'll find out. Okay. We shall soon see.
All right, Arsenal.
That's rather obviously correct.
Villarreal.
Move there from Arsenal, also correct. So you've got 2, you need 1 more.
Aston Villa.
There's your 3, 1 point Come to on. Marcus. Well played, very well done. Is Aston Villa time probably easily forgotten, but you can. Yeah. It's one of those ones where you can picture him in an Aston Villa kit, can't you? So he started his career at Metz, then he went to Marseille, Arsenal, Villarreal, Aston Villa, and one of those clubs that if you name that, I'll give you the money myself. Ended his career at FC Goa.
Yeah, all right.
So, who could forget such an illustrious reign?
And what a goer he was.
So I don't think he was. That was the problem. right. So, Marcus, you're up second. Oh, sorry, you're up first this time for the second player. Chance to go 2-0 ahead. This guy's played for 7 clubs. He, I believe he retired last year, but I'm not entirely clear on that. But I believe he did. He is Andre Schürrle.
Andre Schürrle.
I used to be a big admirer of Andre Schürrle, really enjoyable player to watch, where he used to glide around.
Andre Schürrle.
What do I hear from you, Marcus? You've got a potential 7 clubs. How many can you do?
3.
3? Vish, you are frantically writing away on your notepad. How many can you? Can you beat 3 for a bid?
4.
Oh, nice. Marcus, do I hear 5 from you? Surely that's a stretch.
Let's have his 4.
Okay, Vish, so one at a time, please. Can you name 4 clubs that Andre Schürrle has turned out for?
Chelsea.
That's correct.
Borussia Dortmund.
That's correct also. That's 2.
Fulham.
Yes, of course. That's 3.
And Schalke?
I'm afraid that's incorrect.
No.
Was it Wolfsburg? That's another point. Did he play Marcus. Wolfsburg?
He did play for Wolfsburg.
Oh,
yeah,
gee, Wolfsburg was the one I thought, should I gamble? And I thought, no, I think Vish will mess it up.
Well, I think Vish is confused. I think Vish has basically done that thing that you should never do in Luke's game, where you've just chosen a team that sounds like the player's name. I'm surprised you didn't name...
And he played for Anderlecht as well.
Did Robert Pires play for Paris?
Yeah.
And Anderlecht Schalke played for 7 clubs. He started his career at Mainz, Bayer Leverkusen, Chelsea, Wolfsburg, Borussia Dortmund, Fulham, as I'm sure Marcus remembers, and he's finished his career on loan, I think, at Spartak Moscow. Well, he definitely played there. I think his career's finished now, but he did not turn out for Schalke. That is 2-0 to Marcus. That is all the work to do for Vish now. He gets to go first on this game, on this player, though, so that is a chance to get a positive start and bring yourself back into the game. This player has played for 9 clubs. He's still playing. He is Fabio Barini.
Ooh.
That's a great question.
Great player. 9 clubs. How many can you name? I was actually surprised. One of those ones that I was surprised he'd played for so many, actually.
Mm.
But you need to get this one in, Vish, or you've been whitewashed effectively.
I'm going to start with 5.
That is a very... credit to you. You've come out swinging there.
Uh-huh. I cannot believe Vish has said 5, and I am deeply impressed, and I would love him to name the 5.
I think this is a case
this,
of
this could be one of the plays of Luke Moore of Luke, well, Luke's game. Sorry,
he's thrashing around here. This is either a genius move or he's about to soil himself.
If he gets this is one of the great plays on Luke's
game. Are you calling this is up there with Alan Boxer?
Oh, I think so. If he can get it,
all right. So people listening at home can play along as well as ever. 5 of the 9 clubs that Fabio Barini's played for, Vish, you maniac.
Chelsea?
That's correct.
Swansea City?
That's also correct.
Sunderland?
That's correct, that's 3.
Go on, Sad.
Liverpool?
That's 4.
Oh, I tell you.
AC Milan?
He's done it.
Blimey.
He's already done it.
Fair
well
play.
Done.
Fair Fantastic. Play, sir.
Fantastic
Did
stuff.
Did he play for Chievo?
Hellas Verona.
Oh, Verona. Right. It was Verona we saw against Napoli. Sorry, I forget. So,
Chelsea, Swansea, Parma, Roma, Liverpool, Sunderland, Milan, Hellas Verona. And he's currently a club called Fatih Karagümrük, which is in Ooh. Turkey, but I think they're in Turkey, but I'm not sure if they're a top flight club or not. Yeah. I should also add that I'm not sure if he actually played a league game for Parma, so that would have been incorrect, but you didn't know.
Parma was my other one. Parma was my other one.
Well played indeed, sir.
Dodged a bullet. All right, Marcus, you're up first this time. Chance to really bring it home. This player's played for 8 clubs. He retired in 2007. In my opinion, one of the very best in his position has ever been. And I'm sure lots of people will share that opinion when I say his name, which is Japstam.
Big Yap.
8 clubs in total.
Ooh. 8 clubs. That is a surprise. Yeah.
It is actually, isn't it? Yeah. What a player, though, eh? You both must agree. You both agree with me that he's a brilliant footballer. An
absolutely phenomenal player.
Yeah. I wonder what our listeners will be thinking for a club. I wonder what they can pitch for a sweet spot, how many they can name. Because he's a player who's obviously very famous, but, I mean, 8 clubs is a surprising amount.
It is, yeah.
Don't associate him with that many, I don't think.
I'll go for 4.
Okay. Fish, can I hear 5 from you? You've got the fire in your belly, and you showed in that last players you got your head in the freezer as well. What do we hear from you?
I'm going to go for 5.
Shit. Oh, Marcus, do I hear 6?
I'd like him to do his 5.
Oh, you're making the same mistake twice.
I think I... Well, no, he was so impressive, Vish. I'm quite enjoying his performance.
Oh, patronising as
it's
well.
It's only an exhibition match, isn't it, Vish?
Exactly. Okay, Vish, so you need to name, please, 5 clubs that Japstam's played for. Please don't go one at a time.
PSV Eindhoven.
That's correct.
Manchester United.
That's also correct.
Lazio.
That's also correct. That's your 3.
AC Milan.
That's 4. You're 1 away.
That was the 4 I had.
Ajax.
He's only gone and done it again.
Yeah, there
Unreal
you go.
Scenes.
Well
Unreal
played.
Scenes.
Well played, Vish. Well played.
So he started his career at FC Zwolle. Then he went to SC Cambuur. Then Willem II. And then on to PSV Eindhoven and all the teams that you've named, finishing his career at Ajax. That's okay, we're going impressive. To a decider.
What a comeback this would be for Vish. This would be one of the.
I don't want to do it.
But you're riding home. Whatever happens now, you've made this a great game.
I agree. I've enjoyed it a great deal. As ever, it's just a pleasure to have a front row seat.
Yep.
All right, Vish, you're up first again for the decider. This player's played for 7 clubs in total. He is currently still playing, I believe. He is Lukas Podolski. 7 clubs, please. Right, get a bid from you quick as you like. That'd be great.
4.
It's nice. Marcus, are you going to hit him back with a 5 of your own to win? That would be unreal.
It would be, wouldn't it?
It's a difficult one to judge this, isn't it?
It really is. Do you know what? Do you know what? What I'm going to do here is, in the spirit of Luke's game, Vish has been so good. I'm fairly confident I've got 4. I think, but I
should
want
go
Vish...
out on your shield. Go no, 5.
No. I want Vish to do his 4 because he's been so good, and it'll get the young lad's confidence up. It's only the same. Go on, I want Vish to do his 4.
You sure? You don't want to go? You don't want to go out on your own terms?
No, I want him to do 4.
This is Jim Campbell-esque scenes, this.
Yeah.
All right, Vish, you've got to name 4 of the 7 clubs that Lukas Podolski's played for, 1 at a time, please, for a famous win, which you've already said at the start of this game, means nothing. Go ahead.
Arsenal.
Into your mic, if you don't mind.
Arsenal.
Correct. That's 1.
FC Köln.
That's also correct. That's your 2. You're halfway there. But are you living on a prayer?
I think he's got it.
Stuttgart?
I'm afraid not.
Stuttgart
is not a team that he's played for,
That, that was one of the sides I had down.
Was it really?
Yeah,
no,
I had Bayern.
He's not played for Stuttgart.
I had Bayern, Köln, Arsenal, and Stuttgart.
Marcus Speller wins!
That's a win for Marcus. So he started his career at FC Köln, went to Bayern Munich, back to Köln. Arsenal, Inter Milan, Galatasaray.
Inter was
the one. I thought Inter and I thought, oh no, I'm not sure there.
Vissel Kobe and then currently, I believe, at Antalyaspor, or he was the last time I checked. Yeah. Definitely play for him. That's your 7. Marcus wins in what was a pretty dramatic encounter, but Vish, you've earned a lot of fans, I think, with that performance today. So well done, you.
I think he has.
We'll look forward to another round of Luke's game next week. And well played, Marcus. Well played to you both, actually.
Well done, Vish. Although, listen to that, ladies and gentlemen. Give him enough rope.
Exactly.
And you'll be all right. Ah, oh, Vish. What a way to end the show. Wonderful stuff there. Thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble preview show sponsored by Betway, everybody. It's been an absolute pleasure having you with us. We're back on Monday, of course, to talk about the weekend's action. Till then, say goodbye, Vitusha and Haraja.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Luke Moore.
Goodbye.
It's goodbye from me, everybody.
This was a Stakhanov production and part of the Acast Creative Network.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces 3 thought-provoking questions over 3 glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Anna Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more. And join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.